This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2008. We were discussing the 37th limb of bhakti yesterday, about tasting the food remnants of the Lord. If we take a small portion of Mahaprasadam in front of the deity, some small tulsi, charan tulsi, or some nirmalya, maybe one sweet or something, it's actually all right. It's not an offense to honor that directly in front of the deity. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna is very happy when the devotees take a little prasad. But we can't sit down and chew betel nut in front of the deity, which may also be given to us as Mahaprasadam. And we can't sit down and have a big feast. We cannot have the Sunday feast and with the deity doors open. We have to close the doors. So this is text 38. That was Naivedya Swado, tasting the Lord's food. And this is Padya Swado, tasting the foot water of the Lord, from Padma Puran. Those who drink the foot water of the Lord achieve the supreme goal, even though they have not performed charity, sacrifices, Vedic study, or deity worship. So sometimes devotees hear these type of shlokas and they say, all right, because it says if you drink the foot water, which we call charanamrita, actually I didn't read the verse, Nadana Nahavira Yesham Swadya Yona Surarchanam Tepi Padodakam Pitwa Prayanti Paramamgatim. If you drink the charanamrita, or just the water that washes the feet of the Lord, then you can achieve paramgatim, the supreme goal. Even if you've never given any money in charity or any food or whatever, and have not performed any yogyas or sacrifices, and have not studied the Vedas, nor have you done any deity worship, one can still attain the paramgatim, means spiritual perfection. So someone might read this and misconstrue that, oh, that's very good. There's no need to do any deity worship. There's no need to study any shastra. There's no need to perform charity or any sacrifice. I simply sit around all day and drink charanamrita. It's not a bad idea. But it doesn't say charanamrita, it says water. And just plain water, of course, that may be, okay. But what it's trying to say here is, no, these things should also be done. We should also, it's not that we don't worship the deities, we should worship the deities, because all instructions have to be coordinated with other instructions. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that acts of charity, sacrifice, and penance should never be given up, even by the great souls. So this is one shiksha from Bhagavad Gita. So that reigns supreme, Gita Upanishad. So we have to also observe Krishna's order from Bhagavad Gita to perform, that we should perform penance. Although here, so what's actually being said here by Rupa Goswami, citing Padma Puran, he's trying to show the supremacy of each individual one of these limbs of devotion. That conceivably, it's possible that you can go back to Godhead simply by drinking the foot water of the Lord. And it's also you can go back to Godhead simply by taking Naivedya Swadhyo. And you go back to Godhead by dancing before the deities all day and night, like Chandrakanti, who attained the darshan of the Lord. And you can go back to Godhead. You can go back to Godhead by offering prayers before the deity. Because each one of these limbs of devotion, it's being mentioned, each one of these limbs of devotion is perfect in itself, because each one pleases the Lord. And if the unlimited Lord is pleased with our limited attempt or limited offering, then we can attain perfection. That's the perfection of life, is to somehow or other, in one way or another way, you have 64 different ways you can choose from to try to please the Lord, either in any of these ways. So this is what's really being said. And now the next one, because it says the same thing. Now it's smelling incense offered to the Lord. Dup sarobhyam Hari Bhakti Sudo. This is from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Agranam yad darer dhatta dupo chishtasya sarvata tad bhava vyala dashtanam nasyam karma vishapaham. Smelling incense offered to the Lord. the action of the nose, smelling the incense offered to the Lord, fully destroys the poison of karma inflicted by those bitten by the snake of material existence. So this, in other words, smelling the Lord's incense destroys the snake bite of samsara. Very interesting. The incense acts like an oshadi. When someone has been bitten by a snake, by a cobra, in a village, at least in olden days, there were snake bite busters. We have ghostbusters. There were mantric doctors that would chant some mantra, and that mantra, they would take the poison out of the body and save a person's life. So in addition to chanting mantras, sometimes they would administer a vibhuti, some types of herbs or something that they would combine together. It's called oshadi, which means medicine. So he's saying that this smoke is also something that we take into our body, just like medicine. Mantras we hear with our ears, it's called mantra oshadi. The tantric doctor chants a mantra and enters our ear holes, and that becomes a medicine to cure the disease of the snake bite or remove the poison. Or we eat or swallow some vibhuti or some oshadi herbs, and by swallowing that or ingesting that medicine, then that counteracts and destroys the poison of the snake bite. But the samsara is also like a snake. We're all being swallowed by the python of samsara, repeated birth and death, and we've all been bitten, and we're suffering from the burning poison of samsara. Birth, old age, disease, and death, no one escapes. And that is a type of poison, the poison of karma. So our karma is poisoning us, our karma is killing us, and our karma is forcing us to take birth after birth after birth. But simply by smelling the incense offered to the Lord, the fragrance and the smoke of that incense entering the nose becomes the antidote to counteract the poison of samsara. That's a very poetic way of glorifying the value of smelling agarbhati, or dhup, or incense. So we're surrounded by all these auspicious things. Everything we smell, everything we see, everything we touch, everything we taste, it all brings us to the param gatim. It all brings us to the lotus feet of Krishna. These are all limbs of bhakti. If I touch somebody's finger, then I'm connected to his body. And from the finger, I can travel up the hand. And from the hand, I can go up the arm. And from the arm, I can travel up the neck. And from the neck, I can go to the head. And I can enter the head and go to the heart. So if we touch any of these limbs of devotion, limbs is called anga, bhakti anga. Limb means anga, bhakti anga. If we touch any of these limbs of devotion, then we're connected to the body of Krishna. These limbs, just like the limbs, if we touch the hand, is connected to the body. We touch the feet, is connected to the body. So the major limbs are the minor limbs. The major limbs of the body are the head and the stomach and the heart, like this. So when we do Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, these are the primary limbs of the body of the Lord. These give the most pleasure to the Lord because these affect the heart and mind, and stomach of the Lord. So this is an analogy also. So you can think of it like that, that all these are different limbs, smelling incense, tasting the food. Now this is another one. Mali Saurabhyam Yaha Tantre. And this is all under category 38. This is 39. 39 is all about smelling. The smelling bhakti. Smelling bhakti, nose bhakti. Your nose knows. Your nose can know Krishna. So this is smell, nose bhakti. Then there's eye bhakti, ear bhakti, tongue bhakti, touch bhakti, body bhakti, everything, mind bhakti. At smaran, just remembering the Lord, you can attain perfection. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyachit yanti kalivaram. So just by remembering Krishna with bhava at the time of death, then we can attain the supreme destination also. So even mental, mental bhakti, by remembering the Lord. So this is described here in text 163. Pravishti nasika randre harer nimalya saurabe sadyo vilayam ayati papa panjara bandhanam. Smelling the garlands offered to the Lord. When the fragrance of the garlands of the Lord enters the nose, immediately the bondage created by piles of sins is destroyed. Papa panjara bandhanam. Panjara. Panjara means a cage, a trap. We say in Hindi, pinjara. Pinjara means mouse trap. Pinjara. Huh? Cage. Well, in English we say, in the village they call mouse trap a pinjara. Chua pinjara. No? So in English we say mouse trap. But it's a live trap. We catch them and throw them out. So this is the trap, the papa panjara bandhanam, to be locked or locked in the trap of sin. Vishnu's, he comments and says, the bondage created by piles of sinful activities. So here again, each limb does the same thing. So if you smell the incense, or in this case, smell the flowers offered to the Lord, just that fragrance will free us from samsara. So this is Agastya Samhita. Agranam Gandapushpadir Architasya Tapodana Vishudisya Anantasya Grannasyeha Vidiyate. It is said that the nose smelling flowers and Ganda, which is fragrant oils, offered to the infinite Lord, is the cause of complete purification in this world. So this is just by smelling the articles connected to Krishna, that fragrance will connect us to the spiritual world. This is called the Krishna connection. And that's what bhakti yoga, Krishna bhakti yoga means, Krishna connection. Connecting with Krishna with all of our senses, loving Krishna. We love Krishna's, we love the smell of Krishna, we love the taste of Krishna, we love the sight of Krishna, we love the sound of Krishna's name, and Krishna's flute, just like this morning there was one Padakarta, I don't know his good name, but one saintly person from Shamsundar Mandir, he starts the day off every day in Kartik month singing bhajans, Scholastikaliya bhajan. He sings Bengali bhajans to describe the various eightfold pastimes of Radha Govinda in the spiritual world, beginning with Nishant Leela, the awakening of Radha and Krishna at the end of the night. And today he was joined by a flautist. And it was so wonderful to sit in the room and chant. And I was thinking, wow, I'm in Vrindavan and I'm hearing Krishna's flute. He's playing a bamboo flute, like Krishna, it's Vamshidhara. Vamsh means bamboo. Vamshidhara. Of course, Nectar Devotion explains that Krishna's flutes are made of different articles like wood or jewels or metal, like this. But generally, when we read the Rasa Shastras, they're all talking about Bansuri. Bansuri. In Hindi, they say bansuri, or bans, which means bamboo, growing everywhere in Vrindavan. And the gopis often chastise Krishna. They say, what is this bamboo? It's a two-pice piece of wood, but yet it's driving us crazy. And sometimes there's Vamshi Chori Leela, where Krishna gets intoxicated by the taste of the gopis' lips, and he falls unconscious, and then the gopis snatch his flute. That's called Vamshi Chori. Chodi means steal. And Radhika or some other gopi hides his flute. They steal it and they hide it in their bani, or they hide it under the cloth. Then Krishna plays searching for the flute. And it's a very funny, happy, intimate leela of Krishna and the gopis. Hide and seek. Kids play similar games. They hide things to their friends and you have to find it. But that's a bamboo flute. And this makes a very nice tone, bamboo flute, if you ever had the opportunity to play one. It's also very nice. So this is the perfection of chanting the Kam Gayatri. And I remember because I usually chant early because I liked the early air is kind of clear, so I like to do chant my anik in a very early time. So I was chanting, and I was thinking that our acharyas, our Guru Varg, they're telling us that when one chants purely the Kam Gayatri, then he will hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And of course, I'm about 5,000 births from chanting Kam Gayatri purely, but it just so happens, at the time of chanting Kam Gayatri, this beautiful flute was going in the background. I was bling Kamadevaya Vidme. I say, yeah, Krishna, you're here. I know you're here. Then I'm here. I know I'm here. And I hear your flute, but I can't see you. You know, where are you? Where are you? And let me chat more and deeper. And then it went on. And for a long time, he was playing the flute, and I couldn't keep my mind on anything that we were supposed to be doing. Like at 5 o'clock, we were supposed to have Mangal Arati. My mind, because he didn't stop playing the flute till about 5:30. Because they had their Mangal Arati at 5:30. So from 4 until 5:30, my mind was just following that flute sound. And we were singing, doing our Mangal Arati and all our different prayers and Tulsi and all these things. And I couldn't pay attention too much. But someday we may have that experience. That's actually, it's very interesting when you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, Gita Mala. He describes some of the experiences of someone, a new pilgrim, or let's say adventure, entering the Poma Vrindavan Leela for the first time in Sadaka Siddhadeha, when they attain Siddhadeha and leave this material body and take birth from the womb of Gopi and Poma Vrindavan. Then one will grow up there. It's not as soon as you're crawling around on the ground you run to the Ras Leela. You also have to grow there, grow up as a Gopi and become like teenager, like 12 years old or so, 12 and a half or whatever. And then, after singing so many bhajans and cultivating intense purva rag, and then meeting some of the eternal associates of the Lord, Lita Vishaka, members of the Guru Varg, Guru Sakhi Varg, and then one will get further training in different aspects of Prema Tattva and exchange of Leelas and cultivating the emotions of the particular Leela to nourish Radharani's Sneha as a Radha Sneha Adhika Manjari Pransaki. And then one will be sitting in their own Seva Kunj, their Sanket Kunj, their appointed Seva Kunj given by Gurudev. And they've been on the planet Boma Vrindavan, they've been on the same planet with Krishna for 12 years, and you've seen Krishna, heard about Krishna, singing about Krishna, then finally, Krishna's flute, we'll hear Krishna's flute, and we'll become mesmerized, become totally enchanted and absorbed, and practically stunned, because at that time, in Siddhadeya, one can actually experience Krishna in the fullest way. So one will become stunned, and then one's guardians, his Guru Varg, Gurudev, Param Guru, Paraguru, they will come and say, "Hey, Sakhi Manji, what are you doing? You know, what are you just sitting here for? The divine couple, Krishna's playing his flute. He's calling you. He's calling you for service, for seva, your cherished seva that you've been cultivating since your previous life and then on into this life. Now come, come. Krishna's calling you. Come, come." So then you'll wake up out of your stupor and your Guru Sakhi will take you by the hand and then you'll go and you'll get to render some service directly. Now, this is all described. My Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's why devotees really like flute too much. And they have, even devotees who have prior experience in previous life with Krishna Bhakti, generally very early in their life they come across flutes. They come across flute music and they even maybe play them or make them and because it's from a previous samskara. So this is Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is where saints have darshan of Krishna, not in New York or Paris or anywhere. It's Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place to see Krishna, but first we see Krishna by our ears. Sevanmukhehi jivado swayameva smratyada. The verse is there. We see Krishna by our ears. When our heart is full of seva bhav, then Krishna manifests in the ears, in the holy name. Nam rup gun lila parishishta. So this Seva Bhav is Guruji, is our Guru. Our Gurus are teaching us how to cultivate Seva Bhav. Because when the Seva Bhav matures, then we can capture first we capture the sound of Krishna in our ear, and we see Krishna through the sound vibration. And then as Krishna reveals more, he may reveal, of course, the flute sound. The sound of Krishna's flute doesn't usually manifest in the ear and heart of a sadhaka in the sakshat form until the level of bhava. So keep smelling flowers and taking Mahaprasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, and we hope by all these wonderful devotional activities they will come to the perfectional stage. So we'll continue there tomorrow with more. Tomorrow's touching the deity. So one by one, Rupa Goswami is reminding us and enlightening us about the extreme power of all the limbs of bhakti. See the Lord, touch the Lord. There was one famous singer, the son of Hari. His name was George Hari's son. When they asked Srila Prabhupada in London, oh, why don't you initiate George Harrison? And he Prabhupada said, well, he already has a spiritual name. He's the son of Hari. George Hari, Hari, as Prabhupada said, George Hari. He's already George Hari's son. Because in Sanskrit, son is a Hindi and Sanskrit name, I think. Son, I mean, means something, means with or whatever, son. This is Hari, Hari son. No need. And everyone laughed as you were laughing. And he never got initiated. At least externally. But this personality, who is no longer here in this world, but he was certainly benefited by Prabhupada. And he wrote a song where he was very eager, was really expressing Purvarag, actually, in his own way. Not exactly Purvarag in the strictest definition of it, but a definite yearning and eagerness to, I really want to be with you, my Lord. I really want to see you now. I want to feel you now. That's just exactly what we're talking about. He wants to see the Lord. He wants to feel the Lord. I want to taste the Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And that's the background, right? The Maha Mantra. Very faint, and you have to have a quadraphonic stereo to hear the chanting. But it became a number one hit, and no one ever, most 99% of people don't realize there was some what that mumbling was in the background. All they know is, my sweet Lord, this Madhurya Purushottam. Madhurya Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki. Jai. So he's just saying, I really want to see you, my Lord. I want to be with you, my Lord. And in the background, Hare Krishna. So everyone, a lot of the old folks in the audience, they may have been familiar with that to some extent. So this is the heart, this is the poetic heart of a musician devotee speaking out to his Lord. So all of us are, maybe we're not really musicians and poets of that type or caliber. But we are this position of the heart. He is indicating the position of the heart of a genuine devotee. A genuine devotee's heart is full of utkantita bhav, intense eagerness that I'm fed up with this world, this mayak world, this illusory world, and I'm really very much interested and very desirous to somehow contact the Supreme Lord. To see the Lord, to feel the Lord, to hear the Lord. This is the aim and ambition. Of course, it's all connected to Seva. I want to see my Lord, to serve Him. I want to hear my Lord's command. I want to hear His order for service. I want to touch Him at service. I don't want to just, God. I want to touch Him like a chocolate puppet or something. No, we want to touch Him. We want to massage His feet, or her feet for that matter. And we want to render service with our hands, like Ambarish wanted to engage all his senses in the service of the Thakur. But that was more of a Vaidhi viewpoint, oriented towards the Archamurti. But in Rag, we have attachment for the personal form of the Lord. Beyond, the deity is there, but the original form of the deity, Sakshat Krishna, Sakshat Hari.